Mason Dixon line fits my life. Oh, so right.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Wednesday morning. Good thing my next guest didn't hear the music, but the playing music there, Dixieland Delight, he might have started singing along and cost us an FCC fine or something. But anyway, joining us now, he does the pregame for Tide Basketball on 100.9 in Tuscaloosa and some other things. But Hunter Johnson is joins us on the line now. Hunter, good morning. How are you?
I'm not going to lie, Jeff. I'm a little bit worse for the wear. You know, ending our basketball game at 120 last night, not ideal. And then we get to do it all over again tonight. So, yeah, don't necessarily love it, but very happy to be here on your show.
Is UNLV just terrible?
I don't think they're that bad. I'm more so shocked at how Josh Passer consistently gets jobs when he's never really been very successful anywhere. But he's got that job now. I don't think they're that bad, but I mean, obviously they ran into an Alabama team that was, you know, had a chance against Gonzaga the night before.
Right.
And did not, you know, capitalize on it. And a kind of a pissed off Alabama basketball team led by a dog out of Mobile, Alabama, in LeBaron Fowler.
He is. I think he is, much better than your Aiden Holloway fascination. That's who you need to be rocking the jersey with there, Hunter.
I will be in Neville for the I-Bob in Auburn this year wearing my Aiden Holloway jersey. Aiden had 26 last night.
I'm disappointed you're not making the Iron Bowl of football on Saturday night.
I know, and you're giving me crap for it. And I will say this. I have a good time every time that I go to Auburn. Great food scene in Auburn. I'm giving all your flowers. I'm being nice. Like, you know, Acres probably my favorite restaurant in the SEC outside of maybe Nashville. Jordan-Hare Stadium is not going to be a safe space for me on Saturday, and I need to watch that game in a safe space.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I everybody says it's haunted. I think the last two trips, maybe Alabama had been overlooking Auburn a little, and Auburn just kind of snuck up on them. I don't think you're going to see that Saturday night. I really don't. I think that this is circled on the calendar, and they're not going to let it be a trap game at all.
So here's my take on it. I think it might have been a Nick Saban issue. I think Nick, he got a little puckered up when we went down to Jordan-Hare. I think that Jordan-Hare was a thing in his head. And the thing about Kalen DeBoer is what you don't know can't really hurt you. He's never been down there. He doesn't know any, I mean, I'm sure he's heard stories, but he's never been down there and experienced, you know, some weird plays, some odd things happening. So my hope is that what you don't know can't hurt you.
Well, I mean, talk to us about this. And I mean, I'm in the bubble. I'm there every home game. But playing at Jordan-Hare Stadium compared to, like, Athens or Baton Rouge or, you know, Gainesville, all these places, and you've been to all these stadiums. I mean, where is it, like, on the difficulty scale of road trips? You know, not necessarily the teams they put on the field, which have been suspect, but the home field advantage and it being a tough place to play from your lens.
So, you know, I'm going to give you kind of a half a compliment here as an Auburn fan. Auburn fans talk a lot about how, oh, Jordan-Hare is so awesome, so awesome. It's good, yeah. But it's probably a mid-tier SEC venue on non-Iron Bowl Saturdays, and I've been there for non-Iron Bowl. But on every other year, in the last Saturday in November, there is not a tougher stadium in the country to play in than Jordan-Hare. Jordan-Hare on an Iron Bowl Saturday, which is my first one in 93 down there, it is the toughest environment in college football.
Now, I think, you know, you're right to some degree that they get up for the big games. And you always remember, like, Florida would come in at, like, top ranked or whatever, and they'd lose. when Auburn when Auburn really gets up for the game. And I think they did a little bit for Georgia this year, but then the wind got sucked out of the sails there. But when they want to get up, I mean, it really does become something different than what it is on a usual Saturday.
I agree, and I don't think that – honestly, I don't know that a lot of Auburn people went into that Georgia game thinking that y'all were going to win. I think y'all, they got a little hope, obviously, with that first half. But I think Auburn fans expect to, you know, I don't know if they expect to win on Saturday, but it seems like they're feeling pretty confident going into it. So I think they're going to be up for it. It's going to be an elite environment, especially this will be the first night game down there since 07. There's something the last night when we had in Tuscaloosa was 14. There's something cool about the Iron Bowl at night. There's just something cool about night football games at both Bryant Denny and at Jordan-Hare. So, like, yeah, I'm sure the fan base is going to be getting lubed up pregame, and it's going to be a pretty raucous environment.
We always know, like, you can always kind of tell by the pregame tailgate scene and just how crowded it is. I mean, you really see the tangible difference going from Georgia to Missouri or whatever. And the Georgia game was as crowded as I've seen it in years. I suspect Saturday with Alabama will be equally as crowded. But you can just kind of feel it outside the stadium as well when you go. Now, when I go to Tuscaloosa, Hunter, I mean, it's a big deal. But y'all expect to beat Auburn when you play there. And I you know, there's like there's a celebratory sort of moment, but it passes. It's in when Auburn beats Alabama, and I'm sure this is true for any team that would beat Alabama in their home stadium. I mean, it's like VJ Day or something.
Yeah, I see that. But you say it's like a celebratory moment. Were you in Tuscaloosa in 2014?
Yes.
So that was one of the wildest pregame environments that I can ever remember in Tuscaloosa. It was almost like sensory overload. There was just like too much going on. And then you have that game and how, I mean, you know, Auburn's up by two scores in that game. That was far from just like, yeah, I'll never beat Auburn. It was a tough thing.
Payback from the year before, right? Like,
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because
it does. He had Gus down there wearing the same thing that he had worn the year before for the kick this.
That was a
little bit different. And I think, you know, you're going to see something like that down there at Auburn. I know it's going to be like, I mean, I'm sure there will be 120,000 people down there tailgating. It's going to be a raucous thing.
Well, talk to us a little bit about the coaching carousel. Now, first off, there's no way Kalen DeBoer is going to Penn State, is it?
No, I think that's totally just the thing that was planted by Jimmy Sexton.
Yeah, as I say, it sounds like agent rumor mill monitoring.
I don't even think it's Jimmy Sexton. I think it's one of Jimmy Sexton's people planning it. I will say this. I'm a DeBoer guy. I wanted us to hire him. I'm fully behind him. That said, his people can't do this every year or every other year. It's not going to curry any favor with the fan base by doing this, you know, over and over. So let's hope that this is a one-off here of this whole Penn State plant thing kind of happening.
Well, it reeks of like Franchoni or what? I mean, the idea you would leave Alabama, Bill Curry. I don't know. It does seem, in some way, it seems phony, but then in others, I guess we've seen it before.
Yeah. I think the Franchoni thing is totally different because of the impending probation that Alabama was going to have. The Curry thing was obviously an Auburn thing that he just couldn't beat Auburn, and it finally just, you know, was too much for him, and he decided to take, obviously, a much lesser job. I mean, obviously, Penn State's probably a top 10 job in college football. And I think that the way that you could plan it, the way that Sexton's people probably did plan it, was like, DeBoer might be a little bit, you know, overwhelmed by the pressure at Alabama. I don't think that's the case. I think he embraces it. So I'm not concerned about that at all.
The money, though, is different. And then, Because Penn State, to me, because of NIL, makes it a top five almost. It's weird. I mean, I don't know. I eventually expect to see Notre Dame, but, you know, the Ohio States, Michigan, maybe to some degree Southern Cal. You know, I think Alabama's certainly in the mix, Texas, Oklahoma. But Penn State, they just have a lot of that hedge fund, you know, kind of Wall Street money that they have access to that a lot of schools, and I'd say, you know, the Auburns and LSUs and others don't have access to.
You know, but I also think that you can say this is a good thing or a bad thing about the people of the state of Alabama. We kind of put our money towards probably putting all of our money towards college football isn't the smartest thing to do, but yet that is where that's our priority. We might have some misguided priorities in our state, but that's a priority in this state. And so I don't think you're ever going to see Alabama or Auburn really struggle when it comes to NIL, because people, we don't have, you know, maybe the Fortune 500 companies that somebody like a Pennsylvania or a, you know, California are going to have, or Ohio. But what money we have, we're going to put towards football.
Yeah, well, I've always thought this, and I got kind of high on the basketball thing, thinking, man, we can't compete with those guys. I'm good with being kind of maybe a top 20 program, but if we could just make basketball our thing, that would be okay with me. But I don't even think you can do that in this day and age. It's just where the money is. And
also, imagine 20 years ago, you saying I just like
that's crazy. Auburn, yeah,
it's a top 20 program.
Absolutely insane. No, you're right. But I'm. It's kind of like playing the hand you're dealt, and this is the hand we're dealt, and it's the free market. It is what it is, and there's just as much as the LFL can pony up, that doesn't hold a candle to anything and a lot of these other schools have.
Right. But I also think there is something to be said about, putting your money toward basketball and, for Auburn capitalizing on the pretty incredible run. I don't think if you had told me, like I said, 20 years ago that Auburn would be a perennial top, heck, there have been top 10 over the last 5 years, but a top 20 program, I would have said there's no way. Nor would I really have thought that Alabama would be at the level of success that we are. And so the level of success in basketball in this state right now is just remarkable.
Well, and that's what I was saying. You could do basketball a lot cheaper than football. I mean, you could have a pretty good basketball team for the cost of an offensive line, in football. And that's why basketball, just kind of looking at it, is attractive to me and playing more top tier, doing more with basketball if we could, even if football had to suffer.
Yeah, I obviously don't want it to be a case of our football program suffering from it, but I've been really impressed with what Nate has done with our NIL, and that I'm not trying to sound smug here. You're going to probably think that I am. I think that there is a little bit of a NATO discount. I think that Nate has proven that he can get guys into the league, and that there's Alabama can get guys for maybe a little bit less than maybe a UNC could, which is freaking unfathomable to say right now.
The other thing about basketball and the NIL, you look at what's available in the transfer portal, and I think it's still hit or miss because you could get something and then they get on campus and then they can be totally different. I think we saw that with Michigan last night that, the expectations may be here, but then they can play at a different level. In basketball, that's more likely to happen. I mean, you'll have your bust in football and basketball, but it's a lot harder to gauge talent coming out of the transfer portal when it comes to basketball than it is football.
Yeah, well, and I would also say, going from one level to another, it's just, Alabama has a situation with Keaton Briscoe, who came from a program that just became D1 in Tarleton State, and he's lighting it up. And then you have the Patriot League Player of the Year last year in Noah Williamson, who's just honestly struggling right now. It is very much boom or bust when it comes to judging the transfer portal in basketball.
Hey, Hunter, before we wrap it up here, where does Lane Kiffin wind up?
Man, I really don't know. Because he's such an unpredictable dude, and he's been that way his entire coaching career. I think the LSU would be the proper choice. I also think staying at Ole Miss would be a good choice because he could be a legend there. Part of me thinks that he's going to end up going with Florida just because I think that was his kind of dream job. I think he just really thinks highly of that Florida job.
He's got that Florida temperament, though. You know, like they used to say about Florida, like the swagger of Notre Dame and the tradition of Wake Forest. And, like, he's the best coach available, but, like, what has he done, you know? He's a Florida guy. He's got the visor. I see him more culturally fitting in Gainesville than I do in Baton Rouge.
I totally agree with that. And that's part of – I still think that LSU is a better job than Florida. I think they have a better recruiting base. I think they have more NIL funds. But I think that I would have to – if I had to put my money on it, I would say he ends up in Florida.
Yeah, because I
think it works. I think he vibes there.
The media spotlight – in LSU is tough. You're the only show in town. I mean, you got the Saints or whatever. Florida, no one really cares about Miami, but you do have at least Florida State. And you got, for whatever reason, people think Central Florida or what, South Florida. But maybe the spotlight makes it a little easier to be successful in Gainesville.
You've got professional sports. I do think that is a much easier job, easier expectation. I mean, they have expectations of Florida, but you're right in that the spotlight's not quite as bright as it is in Baton Rouge.
Yeah. Hey, Hunter, folks want to find you online. They want to check out, you do the pregame for the basketball there in Tuscaloosa. Tell everybody where to find you.
Yes, so we'll be getting started with that for the Clemson game next week. All right, will be our first pregame show. Do a postgame show after. You can listen to that on Top 100.9. And if you'd like to see some unhidden takes, you can follow me on Twitter or on X. Excuse me, at Burner L. Johnson.
Yeah, check it out. He is the Auburn anti-Auburn troll, as I like to call him. Hunter, thanks again.
I appreciate it, Jeff.
All right, we'll be right back. This is the Jeff Bohr Show at FM Talk 106.5. Like a ride.